Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, so much has been said about experience coming into the NBA Finals. The Warriors are making their sixth finals appearance since in the past eight seasons, while no player on your team has competed on this stage. How much does experience really matter once you compete in the NBA Finals, though?
I think once you get out of the initial media circus and the intensity and how everything is much more exaggerated, obviously it's not much different when you get on the court. We have guys that are young but have been through a few Eastern Conference Finals already, and then our path this year, you know, two game sevens and playing some high-level teams and taking a tough route, I think that's prepared us more than anything. I coached in two finals my first 2 years in the league, got to a Western Conference Final as a player myself, and then we've had other coaches who have been through it and, you know, and won championships as well. And so we can kind of give our advice on what's to come, but once we get out there, I think what's really been good about our group is and not caught up in the moment. The game sevens, playing on the road, you see our record. And for more so than anything, it's just basketball. At the end of the day, that's what we try to stress. And I think that's the benefit of our group being so young and approaching it that way.
Back with the NBA Finals edition of the Causeway Street Podcast. My name is Joel Pavone, and I'm joined by Sean Dutra, and once again by Zach Pelequin, and we're going to preview the NBA Finals, because guess what? The Celtics are back in the NBA Finals for the first time since 2010, and they're going to face the almighty Golden State Warriors after taking care of the Miami Heat in seven games, 100-96. It's a little closer than most would have liked it to end that series. Hell of a series. But either way, the Celtics advance, and we're here to talk about it. So, fellas, what are your thoughts pretty much on how Game 7 ended and how the Celtics aren't the favorites going into this series against the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, depending on who you talk to, they're not the favorites.
I mean when I say they're not the favorites, it's more like the national.
Yeah, ESPN had them at like an 86% chance to win or something crazy like that.
Yeah, that good old, what is it, power index nonsense?
Yeah, bullshit, which is weird. It's just wild. But, okay, first thing, was it a little bit of a letdown at the end of that Heat series? A little, but it take away from the fact that the Celtics got the job done, right? That's all that it comes down to. So, huge way to sort of sack up at the end of that series and travel back down to Miami, which you didn't want to do, play the game for the full 48, went down to the wire, unfortunately, at the end there. But I thought it showed a lot of, again, proved everybody wrong about the Celtics and that they are a front-running team. They aren't able to handle adversity. I think this playoff run has showed you, hands down, they can handle anything that comes in their way. That includes the Warriors. Yeah, I mean, the Warriors are definitely should be favored in this series with their championship experience. Steph, right? I mean, just his aura being fawned all over by national media and basketball sort of fake fans all over the world. But, like, It's the passing of the torch. Like, the second chance to put down the team that, you know, has been reigning over the NBA for the past 10 years, and just make a statement. This is their say that they're fully here. Those are my initial thoughts. I mean, I was actually pissed to hear all of the negativity of how we made it to the finals and how we got there, rather than the fact that we're the last two teams in the NBA in the finals standing here. So,
I know what you mean. It feels like the Heat are getting all this praise for losing in Game 7.
Back, yeah.
And for almost like, you know, pulling off the whatever, the comeback, rather than the Celtics, you know, after four attempts in the Eastern Conference Finals in 6 years to finally get over the hump.
Yeah,
with this core.
Those same people would be killing anyone for giving the Celtics a moral victory if the tides were turned.
Yeah, especially like the local media. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
All that's been pissing me off this week. But other than that, man, I'm stoked. Celtics in the final, baby.
Zach, your thoughts on everything so far?
Well, I mean, I always try to take the approach of, if I were to sit back and be in my seat in the beginning of the year and think to where we are right now, how would I react to it? And I said in the beginning of the year, I thought this team had the capability of being a top three seed. I didn't think that that was out of the realm of possibility, and we saw they could do it. And I said, you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd be pretty happy. That was about the bar that I set for them. For them to jump that bar and get to the finals, to me, just shows the maturation of this team, you know. And I think, you know, right from the start of this year, I know it's not quite the time to look back on everything as of right now, but to make these finals, I think there is a level of achievement that I don't know if I was quite prepared for them, you know. So I'm still kind of in shock. I'm still kind of digesting the fact that they're here, you know, they've arrived finally.
I feel
after.
I feel yeah,
like, I mean, after I'm, five I'm, or six I'm, years.
Yeah, like it still hasn't hit me yet, I think, until I actually see the court and the two teams at midcourt ready to jump the ball when it's going to be, oh, the Celtics are in the finals. Oh,
the finals.
The finals. 12 years later. Holy shit. This is what's happening.
That's what I'm a little bit worried about. Because like, what are the actual Celtics feeling? Well, comparatively to a Golden State team who's damn right, we're back. We knew we'd be back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're here. We know.
We just had to get healthy. Yeah, I 100% agree. Are they going to be starstruck? But here's the thing. I thought they would have been against Milwaukee in the second round playing the defending champions. I thought they would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami. So, and I would have thought, in game six, in the game six and seven in both of those series, we would have saw them freeze up, but we didn't.
See,
I
truly think that if they look at any team, they're not intimidated by any team, including the Warriors. What I feel like they're going to get intimidated by is the stage. So, like I think when you look at the Bucks, you look at the Heat, even the Nets in the opening round series, right? You're going up against KD and Kyrie. Like, that's easy. So they've shown they're not afraid of any team, but like, I don't know. I feel I'm hoping, and I know they're sort of really coaching against this, but this has to be their mentality, you know, following some of the players, hearing some of the comments, seeing some of the social media posts. Like, you're in the final, enjoy it, but
yeah,
there's still a job to be done, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, comments after Game 7, you know, especially from Tatum and from Udoka, it's like, yeah, we're going to celebrate tonight. Like, this is, you know, what we worked hard for over the last few weeks just to make it finally over the hump. But we got work to do. Like, you could embrace the moment, but at the same time, the goal wasn't to just come out of the East. The goal is to win it all. And Udoka's like first few words when he was asked, you know, how does it feel? He was just like, yeah, it feels like we still got four more wins before the job is done.
No one remembers who goes to the finals, right?
Exactly. Which I'll tell you what, those quotes, that tells me that Udoka kind of has a little bit more than maybe a lot of people giving him credit for in terms of how he's kind of kept their heads in the game. Whereas, listen, we all love Brad Stevens, but Brad was kind of, yeah, go get them, guys. You know, he didn't really have that, okay, yeah, you're great, but are you that great? You know, until you have that trophy over your head in the finals and you win the four in the finals, he's like, you're just another group of players. And I think finally, you know, maybe that's has gotten through to those guys and they understand that. So I'm hoping that the maturity of this team has finally gotten to that level where they're not going to show up and be starstruck and they're going to be there and say, you know what, we still got a job to do. And they understand that. I think Udoka is a big reason because of that, or is a big reason for that, hopefully.
Yeah, Steph during his media availability was like, you're still going to get those game one jitters, right? Him and the Warriors have been there, you know, six times out of the last 8 years. And it's like, once those get out of the way, it's like, all right, it's basketball. And that's all. And that's all the two teams are there for, is the final two teams battling it out. And I think that's going to be natural. The Celtics are still going to, they're still going to feel some of that, like, oh my God, I'm in the finals type of shit. You know, I saw a picture where Tatum was pointing at the NBA Finals logo on a chair, like, yo, this is what I've been working hard for to make it to the stage. And
yeah.
Embrace it, but at the same time, do what needs to be done. So
yeah, for sure.
First two games on the road for the Celtics. That's the second series in a row that's happened. Does home court matter in this series?
No.
Does home court matter? See, I sort of lean towards Zach. I mean, Celtics have been a legitimate road team, more successful on the road these playoffs as they've been at home. Their biggest win, arguably, Game 7 in the Heat series, and Game 6 in the Bucks series. Arguably, their two biggest wins happened on the road.
Well, I mean, Celtics are 7-2 on the road in this postseason, and 5-4 at home.
Okay.
While the Warriors are 9-0 at home.
I think wasn't their regular season record on the road pretty good too?
It was.
Celtics?
Yeah. They sucked on the road to start the season.
But it's just overall they sucked.
They did have
one of the better home records in the league though, regular season wise.
So I mean, what does that tell you if you have a better away record? Maybe you're more focused on the road. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot has to do with the fact that they haven't lost back-to-back games either. They're 6-0 following a loss. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth.
I think it only matters if they go down 0-2. If they go down 0-2, then you're talking about, you know, having to...
A quote, must-win game three?
A must-win win coming back home. And that, I don't think you necessarily... I don't know. It's just that's when it could matter. Is the series 2-3 in the finals, or do they just do
the regular? It's the same, the way it's been. Way it's been the whole postseason. They switched that in the finals a few years back. Actually, they switched that in the finals after the Celtics lost to the Lakers back in 2010.
Okay, all right. Maybe that's why it's sticking in the back.
Yeah. It was 2-3-2. Now it's 2-2-1-1 like that. Yeah.
But I don't think it's that. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal because of the travel time.
They're fucking going cross country. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So,
I mean, no. I think the rest is huge too. You know, these days leading up to it and the time between game one and game two. Game one is Thursday tonight, and then game two isn't until Sunday. So that will help for injuries of, you know, Robert Williams, who's, I guess, listed day to day for the remainder of this playoff run. And Smart is, you know, always listed day-to-day. Those are the two that are always questionable coming into each game. We all know that the spotlight is going to be on Steph and on Tatum, but what about the other guys? Who are you looking to have a big finals here from both sides?
Are you looking for an X factor?
Not necessarily, because X factor doesn't have to mean... Because I'm talking about players like Jaylen Brown, like Klay Thompson, you know? An X factor would be like Derek White or... Or like Peyton Pritchett.
I think the teams are so deep that those I don't know. I think if you're looking for an X factor, it's gonna...
That's not the question. I'm just talking about like who are the other players to look out for that are gonna potentially have a big series outside of Tatum and Curry?
Yeah, the X factor. Yeah.
I think the guy that, and he's been doing it all postseason, the guy that's kind of been unsung and has been a steady presence for the Celtics all along is Al Horford. I mean, this is his time. I mean, 35, 36 years old.
35 years old, yeah.
Getting an opportunity for the first time. I think he's going to seize the moment. He's the one guy that I'm looking at. And you got to think, he's one of those guys. I know we're saying Robert Williams and Marcus Smart being guys that are beneficiary to getting the extra day in between. But Al Horford being at his age and the minutes that he's taken on,
yeah,
that's going to be a huge benefit to him too. He's going to get that additional time. So I think he's a guy, especially with a Golden State team that's built from the outside in, you know, I think he's a guy that could really take advantage. I think the pick and roll game with him and Brown and Tatum, he should be in line for a pretty good series. I mean, who's going to defend him? You know, you're going to put an undersized Draymond on him, or you're going to try Kayvon Looney. He might be a little bit of a factor here. You know, more, or as much, if not more so, than he has been throughout the playoffs, in my mind.
And then there's always the 3-point threat too. That
exactly
can't go undervalued here.
And they don't have anyone that can defend bigs, really. I mean, Draymond's probably going to be doing some time with Tatum, I would assume. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys feel like? I mean, they'll probably do it by committee, but there'll be times where he'll be banging with Tatum instead of, if he's their best defender, trying to lock down Tatum and then give Wiggins to Brown. I mean, that's what I would do if I was them, but then you are going to leave Horford with a mismatch, right? I think Horford 100% stretching the floor, running the offense through him, the pick and rolls we've seen him be able to get Jason Tatum with a mismatch or get Jaylen Brown with a mismatch, I think it'll be absolutely huge. And you make a good point about the rest, because it seems like each one of these 7-game series, like, there's been flashes of Al, and then you sort of lose him for a little bit, but what do you expect? Like, he's 36. He needs playing every other night for 14 straight games. That's tough on 36-year-old legs. So I totally agree. When I'm looking, I think it's somewhat similar for the Celtics. I mean, Grant Williams has to come and show up to play. He can't go invisible this series too, because yeah. I think there's going to be, if I'm going to bet on one thing in this series, Grant Williams and Draymond Green are getting into it. At one point in this series, they're getting
like
others' grills, and they're going to be separated. I bet you. So I think he brings a little bit of toughness that you need to match up against Draymond. He gives you the ability to continue to switch and put him on anybody. I would put, if he's in front of anybody but Steph, I'm feeling okay about him staying in front. Like, he's shown he can guard multiple positions, and then another guy that can shoot the three. So I think we picked the same like reasons, but the Celtics have multiple players who could fit that role, which is probably why we're here.
I think, and this literally just popped in my head, I think this series, for the first time since the Brooklyn series, Boston will have a clear and distinct physical edge on who they're playing in terms of their willingness to rough things up. Because I don't think Golden State, for the most part, with Curry, with Thompson, even Wiggins, and a lot of that bench, they're going to want to play a more finesse game. And you look at the Dallas series where, you know, they were able to do that. You know, it was either you run with us or, you know, we're going to run you out of the gym. And I think that for the first time since the Brooklyn series, Boston's going to have a clear advantage in that physicality. And outside of Draymond, yeah, I mean, you might see the series where there's a lot of games with a lot of the Celtics having, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 fouls, and they're just going to roll through them and say, you know what, we're going to play, you know, 9-10 deep. We're going to hack you up a little bit. We're going to muscle up against Curry, which they've already done this year with Marcus Smart. And they're going to make it a physical series on him. So I think that, the Grant Williams, Draymond Green showdown.
It's awesome.
Coming. It's coming.
you know Al's not going to rough it up with anybody.
No.
Unless it's Giannis. But Grant will get in there. And Marcus Smart, of course, will be probably pouring gasoline all over that fire.
Yeah, I think on the flip side, though, about the Warriors real quick, I think this is the first time that they're facing a team that has more length, a considerable amount of length, more so than the Warriors have. Like who really during their run to the finals for the Warriors, who was a team that was like big in terms of like down
Dallas low? Was Dallas was not at all.
Grizzlies, I guess Jaren Jackson Jr. He played very well in that series. And that was the hardest series they had going into the final.
Yeah. Yeah, they did lose a game by like 56 points, right? Something like that. So,
for matchups, that could be your indicator right there. You know, a Memphis team that they're not exactly built like the Celtics, but there's a mentality that is kind of similar there. So that's a very good point.
I think it's similar because they have defenders that can knock down the three on that team. And that's what gave the Warriors trouble. Yeah. And Al Morant's healthy and doesn't get Jordan pulled, dirty, cheap shot. Jordan Poole ripping his knee off, then that series probably goes a little bit farther.
What did that go, six?
It went six, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they sort of showed you a blueprint of how you can frustrate these.
They didn't whoop that trick hard enough.
Right, exactly. But I gave you a little bit of a blueprint how you can slow down the Warriors. Now, if I look on the other side of things too, to like the X factor on the Warriors, what Klay Thompson is going to show up? That's the big question. When I look at, like, can we stay with the Warriors on paper who look like they're going to be, you know, just be able to have unlimited amount of offensive firepower? But I've watched Klay all season since he's come back pretty intently because of Sway and I's fantasy team. Motherfucker is hot and cold and has been hot. Hold all playoffs too,
yeah.
And you're not going to get third quarter Klay. I mean, those days are gone, or maybe the future. He's not there yet, but I mean, he can put up 25 points, 30 points in a game, and be that number two guy. But there's also games where he shows up and it's what four for 15 with 12 points, and he just doesn't have it. So like, what are you going to get?
Yeah. That's what they do have the depth now that, you know, they might have been lacking even before like, you know, Durant landed on that squad. But I mean, they're young guys.
I'm not worried about Jordan Poole at all.
All right.
I'm not worried about Jordan Poole at all. If Jordan Poole gets on the court and Marcus Smart is out there, he's gonna eat his fucking lunch. Like, it's not even going to be – Jordan Poole seems like the softest, streaky player I've ever – I'm not worried about Jordan Poole at all in the NBA Finals. We're talking about shrinking in the big moments. Sir, he will prove what he is when he's actually being defended and not getting open looks from Steph and Klay being on the court with him at the same time. He's going to be nothing in this. I guarantee that.
All right. And in a series where, in theory, anyway, the refs are going to let them play a little bit more. They're going to be a little bit more leash. So I think the physicality for Boston is going to be the key. This is that 1980, what was it, the 83 finals or whatever it was with the Celtics and the Lakers. The Lakers were far more talented, but Boston was more physical. And that's what they did. They just went into it, get more physical, bang them around, set the tone, just like we did against Brooklyn in the first round. And I think that's where it's going to be all at. So, but yeah, the last thing I'll say on that is we got to keep in mind here that a lot of this team, and this is going to be a little bit of a credit given to a past generation here. A lot of this team was built by Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens hand in hand.
Yeah.
And it was built to beat the prototype of this Golden State Warriors team. This is what they built this team to do. Is be able to switch on your high pick and rolls, switch on everything on the perimeter, and have at least four, if not five, guys that are interchangeable defenders on anyone on the court. This is the series that they were built for. And, you know, credit to Ainge, credit to Stevens, but this is it. So as much as it is a situation of like, well, you know, it's a huge opportunity, and are they ready, and are they going to be focused? This is what they're all here to do. And it's been this way for like 5-6 years. This has been the plan all along, and it's here finally. So it's kind of cool that it's ended up this way, but credit to Ainge and to Stevens, because this is what they built and this is what they built for. So it's super interesting in that regard.
Hey, I 100% agree. And I think we've all had this circled, like when the Celtics were getting close to the finals in those years, we were like, we can get the Warriors. We got it. But like, and also like, this is why they never traded Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Omen. He is the best defender against the Warriors in the league over the past. I mean, granted, sample size, small, but still, when he's defending against the Warriors, his defense and perimeter lockdown defense and how he gets up in people's faces and makes them turn the ball over, or makes them think twice about shooting, or makes them think twice about, you know, having the pick come and set for them, or which way they're going off the screen. Like, that type of defense slows down these Warriors, man. It's just, it always happens.
Funny thing that you mentioned that, because the Celtics actually have the best record against the Warriors over any other team over the last 7 years, pretty much when they started their run.
Yeah.
9-5, and the majority of those wins came on the road.
Yeah.
Against the Warriors. So take that, again, take that whatever it's worth, right? Take that with a grain of salt.
We're taking it as gospel here. Lock it down.
What'd you say it was? 9-5?
9-5. And the next team.
That's more than seven, and that's more than four wins.
So yeah. So the next team after that is the Spurs at 11-12. So that's under 500. The rest of the teams are well below 500. Yeah. So
just friggin' kryptonite. The Warriors kryptonite right here. That's what you can call the Boston Celtics. So one other thing too. Talking about the series, and I'm sure we'll get into some different stories. We probably got lined up, Joel. But the one thing I'm going to be looking for this series, when the Celtics are coming off of, let's just call it all playoffs, not playing a team that could really score the basketball in bunches. The Nets should have. They didn't, right?
Yeah.
The Bucks wanted to slow it down, and they couldn't hit threes if they wanted to.
Yeah, without Middleton, even more yep. So difficult for them to do that. Yeah,
can the Celtics and their offense, like, because I know their defense will slow them down, but can the Celtics score 130 points a night in some of these games if they have to?
You think that's what it's going to take in some of these games?
It will. I think so. The Warriors, man. I do think that the Celtics defense will slow them down, but there are going to be nights when you have to just keep up with the Warriors.
Ultimately, it's the best defense against the best offense, right? Because even though, the Warriors do play great defense, it's not to the level of the Celtics, or just below, just a notch below, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think if that's the case, if the Warriors, run away with a game or two where they are, 120 or more, then the Celtics fucked up.
you're losing those games. Yeah. You're giving up 120, 130 plus.
If it ends up, if one of these games ends up a shootout between both squads, and you're asking me who would win, that's a toss up, because I mean, we've seen the Celtics when they're hot, dropping 22, 23, 24 threes in a game. But when they're not hot, it's awful.
All right, I'm just going to throw these numbers out there, and I know they're not playing the Celtics.
Throw them out there.
142 points, 126, 121 in a loss, 123, 128, 123. You know how many times the Celtics scored 120 points in these playoffs?
Once. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, even if we can slow them down, and let's say we keep them in the low to mid, like, I think if you keep the Warriors under 110 points, like, you're playing pretty well, good defense. Like, that's...
Well, the Warriors are averaging about 115, right?
Right. So you're going to hold them to, let's say you hold them to 110. You're putting them underneath their average, which is good defense. I mean, the Celtics were winning games.
But you got to remember, too, that both teams are going to tighten up their rotation. You're going seven at the most, I think, on both ends here.
I just think it's something to look out for.
No, I hear what you're saying.
It's not necessarily the Celtics can't keep up with them, but how, especially in that Heat series, and you even saw shades of it in the Bucks series, they can't go cold. They can't go 6 minutes without a bucket. Like, even when they started those Heat games well, and they were up to like a 7-1 start or something, That was over like 5 minutes of basketball.
Well, this is the only team I think that they're about to face right now that they're capable of climbing out of a 10, 15, 20 point hole just by shooting their way back in.
Right. Right. And so
like the Warriors, they're capable of doing it. How many times we saw that, you know, in their last couple of series. But I agree with the Celtics. Like if you, it's a game of runs, right? If you're able to hold on to a decent sized lead, then they have to do what they've been doing all playoffs. And that's just lockdown defense and just tire them out. And I think the Warriors could potentially fall into that again. If they're hot from beyond the 3-point arc, then that might be easier said than done. But
the Celtics aren't holding the Heat.
I think they match up well regardless, though. No, I'm not saying that.
The Celtics aren't holding them to 90 points.
Well, I mean, they got to
show up on the offensive end, is what I'm saying. They have to play really good defense as a bread and butter. I think they're going to play really good defense. But you have to be able to get to the free throw line. You have to be able to, you know,
I think each team
pitch shots.
Yeah.
Drive to the hole and don't rely, like, you hit, if you're hitting threes, keep taking them. But you can't get off to such a slow start like they have in some of these games, because then I think you'll be chasing and the Warriors.
No, you're right. And I do think that each team will have at least one blowout in this series.
Yeah, it happens. Like,
you know, the Warriors,
they don't even want to bitch and complain about they'll be watching.
Yeah, right. If they reach
close game,
if like the Warriors reach, you know, halftime down by like 20, 25 points, they might just be like, you know what, this is just not our night. So let's just pull our guys. And that might be that, you know, that type of game that we may see here. But you can't count out either team, I think, when it comes to double digit leads. But I think the Celtics, they tend to have a hard time putting up points when they're cold from three.
Yep, and that's something to watch out for, because even if they're locking down the Warriors, like, it's not going to be like those Heat series. You're not holding the Warriors to 7 minutes of scoreless basketball. Even your best defense is not going to hold them to that. Like, people are focusing on the defense, and like, yeah, I agree. They'll play good defense, but you have to play well on both sides of the ball, because even when you're playing great defense, the Warriors, like you said, I think we all know, they can score 10 points in 30 seconds, and that's not
remarkable. Yeah.
Didn't Dallas have a stretch where they shut them down for like a quarter, though? It was like game three or four or something like that, where they just went ice cold and they shut them down. Well, I'm imagining that.
There was that in that Memphis game where they scored like 20 points in the first half or some shit crazy.
Yeah, they packed it in because they knew, like, we're going back home, so it don't even matter.
Yeah.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying there, Sean. My only thing is when teams, I mean, it's just mathematics, or basketball physics, if you will. When teams shoot more threes, you tend to see the other team have more opportunities, because if they miss two or three in a row, you can make up points. And that's what I hate about the Celtics. When they get into this 3-point, got to shoot three, yeah, got to shoot three offense, you miss long, you open up fast break basketball, and you can give up leads very quickly. And that's why for Golden State, I almost feel like if they offensively get sucked into the 3-point line all game long, and they don't try to get to the rim with Curry, with Wiggins, which I think from a Golden State side of things, I think Wiggins is the real X factor here. He's got to play well. I think he's the X factor. He's got to play well, because they need someone going to the rim. And I don't think Thompson has the explosiveness. But anyway, if Golden State gets stuck in that mindset of we got to beat him at the 3-point line, I hope Udoka and the Celtics are smart enough to say, okay, you know, we don't have to try to be. I mean, they have all-time shooters. The Celtics have great shooters, but they don't have all-time shooters compared to them. You've got to be careful. You don't want to get into those tractions.
Isn't Marcus Smart the number one all-time three-point shooter in Celtics history or something like that?
I hope not.
I was about to say, I'm like,
that doesn't sound factually correct.
Not even a little bit.
Wait, he has some type of record. I know it's not that, but
yeah, he's top. Yeah, I think he's top 10. He might even be top 5 in threes all time, I think.
I mean, he passed like Antoine. He's passed like Avery Bradley. He's passed like players like that.
Maybe he's passed Pierce or something. I don't know.
No, he hasn't. Pierce is still number one and made 3-pointers, brother. Still. How dare you?
Oh, this is what it was. Most threes made in a single game. That's what it was.
Jesus.
This year he knocked down, he had 11. He had 11 3-pointers in one game. Remember that?
Yeah. But doesn't mean he's the all-time best 3-point shooter in the Celtics history. What's wrong with you?
I would say very close, okay? All right. And we're talking about all-time. Give him all-time right there, single game.
All right. This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all your latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casinos and poker games. It's easy to get started, so head to our website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Another thing I want to bring up, turnovers. Believe it or not, the Golden State Warriors average more turnovers, or have been averaging more turnovers than the Celtics in this postseason. Obviously, that's been an Achilles heel for the Celtics, especially in their losses in the postseason. They have to take care of the ball. Can't be with these careless passes. What are our thoughts there? Like, do you think they clean that up, or predicate more to how the Warriors want to do things? Like,
bro, turnovers has been the one thing you can point to friggin' every single loss they've had. It seems like this postseason has been turnovers, but the Warriors defense, I don't necessarily think is, and I probably took the stat, and probably they led the league in like forced turnovers, but I just don't feel like they're a turnover type defense more than like the Miami Heat.
More so like taking advantage of like,
yeah,
when someone, you know, makes a lazy pass type of thing.
Right. The Miami Heat forced turnovers.
Oh, yeah. They were swiping left and right. Yeah.
The Giannis forced turnovers. Drew Holiday forced turnovers. But I just don't feel like the Warriors play that way. I mean, I feel like they're more predictive, team defensive, taking chances here and there, diving into the passing lanes. But they're not going to tee up and swipe the ball. I just don't feel like they're that type of team that has those type of defenders. So maybe the Celtics can play well against that type of team, but also the lazy passes that have plagued us too could even plague us even more if they're you know, taking those type of chances. But
yeah, I think in game one you're going to really be able to assess how much of an issue that's going to be, because I think – well, we've seen, at least in the games that I have watched. Now, I'll admit, I missed the last two games, but game six and seven, I was traveling.
How dare you?
Boo, bad man.
Boo, this man.
But it feels like when they've run into issues with the turnovers, it's been typically high pressure, you know, and high pressure, a lot of it on Jason Tatum. To be honest, it feels like teams have kind of tried to go up, defend him at the three, trap him, and force him into a bad pass when they initiate the offense. And I think in game one, we're going to be able to tell pretty quickly how aggressive Golden State's going to get on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and anyone that isn't a Marcus Smart or Peyton Pritchard or Derek White initiating that offense. And I think that's where we've seen some of the issues. You've had good perimeter defenders getting in, you know, those guys who are okay ball handlers. I'd venture to say Jaylen Brown's not a very good ball handler at all. If he gets forced to his left, he looks like me out there. It's awful. And then Tatum, I mean, if he's got his time, he can handle. But he's not really a guy that I would say is a primary ball handler. He's not someone I would want initiating an offense as often as he does. But I think that high pressure and that trap is going to be really where you're going to be able to tell quickly. If Golden State's aggressive out there, the turnovers could be an issue. That could be a problem. But if they play like I think they're going to, like Sean was saying, where they're going to be a little bit more kind of read and react, you're probably going to be all right. I think you're going to be all right in that regard. I think Boston turning over Golden State is going to be a big thing, but that's also going to be a byproduct of the fact that I think Boston's going to be aggressive. They're going to go after them. They're going to be physical. They're going to set that tone. And I would say, in assuming this series goes at least six games, I'd say half, if not more than half of the games, they're going to be, you know, hyper aggressive. They're going to go after these guys, and they're going to go after, you know, the turnover battle, and they should win the turnover battle in most of those games.
Okay.
The one thing that has sort of plagued the Warriors offense too, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the stats. I mean, they're averaging 14 turnovers a game. I mean, that's similar to the Celtics turnover woes. So, I mean, if they're not going to be careful with the ball as well, I mean, if they, you know, then that could be it. That could be where we win some of these close games, is if we can force those turnovers. And again, the Warriors did that against whoever the hell they played in the first round, the Grizzlies and then the Mavericks, who none of those teams play defense at all. So, I mean, Celtics force a couple turnovers here and there. The Warriors don't take care of the ball. Then we're talking about 18, 19, 20 turnovers in a game, and you're not going to win like that against the Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. I think another big sub story, I think, is going to be the rebounding battle. If Boston wins the rebounding battle game in and game out, they're going to win most of these games, and they're going to win the series.
And they should win the rebounding battle.
They should. They've got the length. They've got the better rebounders on their team. I think if they are rebounding well, because here's the thing. You got to think about it. Boston's going to defend the three-point line better than anyone else Golden State's played all year long. We know that. If they are forcing them into bad shots, if Golden State is not hitting and just unconscious hot, they're going to be giving up rebounds. They're going to be giving up fast breaks. And that transition game where Boston, when they're running, is thriving. Mm-hmm. Those are the games where they win by 30, 40 points. They blow the team off the map. If they're rebounding, not giving second shots to Golden State, and they're defending that three-point line that we know they're capable of, they could win this series, and they can win it faster than I think a lot of people are thinking, to be honest, which I know is a little touchy to say that. But in all honesty, because Golden State's only 100% advantage in this series, in my opinion, going into it, is
scoring.
They're shooting.
Yeah.
They're shooting. You know, they have all-time great. They have two of probably the top five shooters in the history of the game on that team, and a few other guys that are pretty good.
That's where I get stuck, Zach, because if we're talking about, like, breakdown basketball, rebounds, turnovers, that's how you win the game. The fact is, though, the Warriors have proven they can overcome that with historic shooting. So that's what sucks. That's why we're, like, sitting here, like, thinking, this is like, if we're looking at, forget about the names of the teams, and you're just looking at the numbers, it's like, of course the Celtics have.
Yeah, they win the series.
They win the series.
On paper, in normal basketball contests, they win it.
They win it because they're going to out-rebound. They're going to force turnovers. They're going to play great defense. They're going to score. Like, they're going to move the ball. They're going to probably have more assists than the Warriors. Steph Curry can go out for 40 points in a quarter. Like, that's realistic. Something he can do. So, it's just – and then the intangibles about being there before. So, we'll see. I'm a little bit torn about where this goes. I mean, we'll talk about predictions probably in a little bit, but like we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean we felt the same way against Miami. Like they were supposed to be the better rebounding team, and that wasn't the case like five out of the seven games.
The games that got dominated, those were Bam games. Like Bam showed up, and the Warriors don't have a Bam.
Bam showed up once and they pulled within one when they were down like 26 with no Jimmy Butler in the second half. And then there wasn't another Bam game. If you want to say a game seven was a Bam game, all right, you can say a game seven was a Bam game. I mean,
rebounding wise, I'm not talking about total domination.
Oh, okay,
They have like the best rebounder on the Warriors. Who is it? Draymond?
Yeah.
Kevin Looney?
It's probably Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not worried about
Otto Porter.
Yeah, Grant. will dominate the boards in this series. Never mind Tatum.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Butler was gone for half of a game, and he didn't. He played like shit in 2.5 games of the series, and he still nearly pulled off beating the Celtics single handedly in those last few minutes of the game 7. I mean, I'm looking at it both sides here when it comes to one player that can take over. I mean, you say it's Steph, Sean. Do you believe the same thing, Zach? That it's Steph can still do that at 33 years old, 34 years old?
Well, less so than what we saw, you know, 4 and 5 years ago. You know, I don't think he is. I don't think he's got the energy and endurance to do that at 33 the way that he did that. Because then he could take over a series, and he could do it. You know, 3, 4, 5 games where he would be the absolute horse all the way through, no questions asked. I think he can do it in pockets, which is enough. You know, if he can take over a quarter, he can change a game. And, you know, I think Curry is still the most dangerous player in this series, in all truth. And can he be equaled by a Jason Tatum? I don't think so. And that's no knock on Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, I think, is the most talented player we've seen in Boston in, you know, 40 years, easy. But at the end of the day, Steph Curry is one of the greatest offensive threats, offensive guards, and maybe the greatest guard offensively that we've ever seen. Or point guard, I should say.
There you go.
there's a couple others that come into the equation too. But you know, in terms of point guards. I mean, in pockets, he can still absolutely do it. He can absolutely shift the game very quickly. But I'll be honest. I mean, in the games that I watch in the Dallas series and the Memphis series, this Golden State team, it's a great team. They've got a lot of great attributes. But I did not see the same team that I saw in their championships several years ago. I did not see a team that was the same quality, that was like an all-time team. This is a good team. It's a very good team. I mean, to come out of the West and be able to be the team that's in the finals, that's great. But
yeah. I think
this team is much closer to its competition than what we've seen in the past, which is why I look at it and say, I don't know how I feel about this series quite yet. It's going to take probably 3 games before I can really sit in and just be like, okay, now I have an understanding of what this is going to look like. And I'll tell you what, Boston can win the first 3 games. That's not out of the question, you know? But, you know, for me, Golden State, I think Curry is going to be a huge part of it, but I think it's going to be that second grouping of guys. Like Sean said, I think he's right on. Klay Thompson has had some games where you've looked at him and like, who's that guy? Who's wearing Klay's jersey tonight? Because that's not the Klay Thompson I remember. And then, you know, Andrew Wiggins, who's had a renaissance season where he's looked like the player we thought he was back in that draft when we wanted him so badly. You know, he's looked like that guy this year, but, you know, matchups are going to be a big part of this as well. And you know, there's certainly some bench factors that you have to take into consideration. But, yeah.
I mean, 123 combined finals experience versus 0, goose egg. I think that's the only advantage they have. And then from a casual basketball fan, they'd be like, well, you know, the Celtics probably don't have a chance here. You know, it was a great season. They, you know, they made it all the way to the finals, but this might be the end of the line for them. You're right, Zach. On paper, Celtics could easily win this in 6 games, right? But it depends on the mindset of the Warriors. Like, you know, what do they have to prove, right? That's been their whole thing. Like, we didn't make the playoffs the last 2 seasons. If we were healthy in 2019, we would have won it. We would have beat Toronto. The year that they lost to Cleveland, if Draymond didn't get suspended, they would have won it. Like, they have all these. They don't forget. Shit like that. And the Celtics, what they need to, you know, hang their hat on is we don't care. Like, this is what you know, this is the role we decided to take. We wanted Brooklyn, we wanted Milwaukee, we wanted Miami, because those are the 3 teams that ended our season early the last 3 years. So this time around, and I agree with you guys, that's a great point you guys brought up at the beginning of the episode, the Celtics were always built, or like, that was the matchup that everybody wanted. The Warriors. We want the Warriors because the Warriors are homegrown And the Celtics they're trying to do the same, and you know, adding a couple of veteran pieces. Now these two teams are here. So, yeah, it's tough to gauge this series.
I'll throw another reason why it's tough to gauge the series. Celtics are a significantly younger team, minus Al Horford.
Yeah, so Al's the only player over 30 on this team, yeah.
Right, but you feel like they'd have more legs. The top four players in average minutes per game this playoffs are on the Celtics.
I'm not shocked because Udoka rides his 7-8 man rotation hard.
Al's 36 minutes a night during the playoffs.
Bro, even at the beginning of the season, that was my knock on Udoka. Like why did they go out in the summer and get all these, you know, veterans if he's only going to stick with 7-8 guys? But this is what he's done the whole fucking season. He ain't going to change it up now.
I'm just saying the Celtics, can they last? They set another 7-game series. Three straight 7-game series of playing these guys. The minutes are going to go up for these guys. Probably not Al, but the minutes are going to go up. Tatum's going to damn near pull Jimmy Butler minutes. But he may be up to 46 tonight with just a breather here or there.
All right. Right now, Tatum is leading the team at 41 minutes. Jalen at 38. Smart at 36. Horford at 36.7. And then it's Grant Williams. So, I mean, Robert Williams is averaging about 21. So, I don't know if you want to keep him around there or if he's healthy enough to play more than that.
Robert needs to play more freaking minutes, man. He could not be a 20-minute a night player.
But how effective is he if he's not, like, you know, 60 or 70% Robert Williams? We've talked about this.
I'll get out there for 30 minutes a night. He is 24 goddamn years old, right?
But he's not. He doesn't have 24-year-old knees.
he's got the Greg Oden.
I mean, Horford's got better knees than his dude, man. Yeah, and Horford's about to turn 36 the day after the game one.
Yeah. What? So how old are?
I don't know. I can't.
40.
I can't gauge on that. Can you? I don't know.
I don't know.
There's some days where he looks like he's an 18-year-old out there, but then like the next day or like, you know, hours after a game, it's like, oh, his shit's sore.
Yeah.
Like it sounds bad when they say sore, but like. People forget it's a surgically repaired meniscus, right? That's what it is, a partially torn meniscus.
Menisci,
whatever.
predictions, what do we got?
Initially, I said six. I'm sticking with that. Against the Nets, I said five. They swept them. Against Milwaukee, I also said five, and I went seven. Against Miami, I said six. But
so you're under like one.
I said six against Miami. I don't know who was more pissed than I was. Obviously the players were, but other than that, after game six, I was just like, I don't know what the fuck was gonna happen in game seven, to be honest. And I don't think you want to go across the country in the game seven, but that's just me.
Yeah.
You gladly go if you force a game seven, then you're like,
well, yeah, you're right.
Different things.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. If they're able to wrap it up in six, okay, you're right. If they're able to wrap it up in six, you don't want to go across the country, right? This is different from going 3 hours down south than six across country. So, yeah.
I'm going Celtics in seven. I've been doing it every single series so far. Seems to be working out. In our favor?
Same guy. This is the same guy. The same guy. You shit on Durant. You shit on Curry. But yet you're afraid of him when it comes to the fucking playoffs.
I'm just realistic.
That's the first time you've ever said that, by the way, on this podcast. That is realistic. Wow.
Fucking true thing ever of all time. No.
I would have taken averages or averages because they're averages.
I'll put it this way. There is nothing more that I'd like to do than sit here and be like, 4-0, baby. That's all I want to do. But as it's working out, but I'm not going to do that. I'm picking the Celtics in seven because that is the way. It is the way.
If it was up to you, it'd be 100-0, right? They'd just sweep through the season, sweep through the playoffs. Go.
98-0.
The best team ever then at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, 98. All right. Yeah. Zach, I mean, I know you said it was tough to gauge, but and you say you need to take like three games before you have an idea where it's gonna go.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with they either win it in six
or lose it in seven.
Oh, so
I think if you go to seven, I think you're in trouble. Going across country in their house with their experience and with the guys that have done it before.
But then again,
I think that's going to be a tall task.
Then again, like they've done it time and time again in this postseason.
Jane done in the finals.
Yeah, you're right.
This is it. All right, here's your prediction.
Pick it and stick it.
In six, and Jason Tatum becomes the new Mr. Game Six. Takes the mantle from Jordan, and he becomes the new Mr. Game Six.
Celtics in six. Love it.
Say Celtics in six. I say Celtics in six, and you know what else? I'll make a bold prediction. Jaylen Brown is your MVP.
I think
this is his series. He remembers when Steph Curry said, "Oh, you're too little," a few years ago when he shot it.
I said talk too much. He said he gave him the turpin.
Oh, that's what it was? All right. Whatever. Like, Jaylen doesn't forget. I think he's gonna go off in this series. That's just me. That's just my personal take. You know? You're right.
Are we doing bold prediction time?
You wanna do a bold prediction? Then we'll do a bold prediction. Go ahead.
I mean, so before I get into my bold prediction, I have one bone to pick with what Zach said, and it just rang in my head. I forgot to say it. I do think that Jason Tatum can keep up with Steph Curry. If Jason Tatum can score with Steph Curry, he 100% can. So you said that he could. He probably.
Then you got an equalizer in that case.
So. I think you do.
I think that's one of the reasons why I think Jaylen is going to be your MVP, because those two might cancel each other out.
Yeah.
And also, we're talking final Steph. We're not talking regular season.
Yeah, shimmy Steph. The same final Steph who hasn't won an MVP. I get you.
Mr. Never won an MVP. Mr. Averaging 20 points a game in the finals, something like that. Mr. That Steph
that's,
Curry.
That's where Smart steps in.
Hell yeah. And speaking of my bold prediction, I think that when it's all said and done, I don't know if he'll win the trophy, but we're going to look back on it and say that Marcus Smart was the most valuable player in the Celtics finals win.
Take a dollar out.
Finals game winning plays. That's what Marcus Smart's going to bring in the series.
As long as he knows when to shoot and when not to shoot, I believe it. That's the only thing.
Shoot the ball when you're open, Marcus. Don't listen to these motherfuckers. If you're open, shoot the damn ball.
1 for 12, 1 for 14. Oh, God damn it. Stop shooting, Marcus, please, God.
Hey, everyone wants to bitch about the end of that game. He was open on all five of those shots in the fourth quarter.
To his credit, he's done less of that since the turnaround.
I will go to the grave saying if they win the finals this year, the reason they won the finals was because Marcus Smart realized he needed to be a point guard and not a shooting guard. That would be 100. I would stand by, and you know how critical I've been of it, but Marcus Smart the last 5 years.
They actually told
him 100%.
Yeah, they actually told him, no, you're gonna be our point guard
he's taken it on the second half of this year, and he right now you're gonna get flashier numbers from Tatum, you're gonna get flashier numbers from Jaylen Brown, you're gonna get some awesome shot blocking and rebounding from Robert Williams, but Marcus Smart in that role, him embracing that role, is why they're here right now. No doubt in my mind.
Six assists in the playoffs on average for Marcus Smart. Would you have expected that going into the playoffs?
No.
No, Tatum is right there. Tatum is like, what, 5.8, 5.7, something like that? He's right there.
Yeah, they're both passing the ball. Yeah. Tatum is arguably his best trait this playoff, is getting everyone involved.
Mr. First Teamer.
That's the first team as well. and Zach, here's my thing. I don't want to hear anybody bitching about Marcus Smart taking open shots. Now, if you want to talk about he needs to make his open shots, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But the fact that people sit there and go, why is Marcus Smart shooting the ball in the last 2 minutes of a game? Because he's wide fucking open. They're double teaming Tatum and they're manning up on Brown.
How many has he made during this postseason run?
I'm telling you. Tell me about it.
I still think he's one of the better streak shooters in the NBA, where 100%. He can get hot for, 8-10 shots in a row, and then after that it goes away or whatever. But
and he hit the free throws to lock down the game. He hit the free throws that needed to be hit.
Taking them, no, not a problem. But there also has to be a situational awareness. Because if you don't need a three ball and it's just an open three and you got 15 seconds on a shot clock,
That's moronic. I'm sorry. That's bad situational awareness. There are situations that you got to take into consideration.
He's at 40% from the field. That's
from the field.
Yeah.
Or from three.
No, from three. From three, he's at 33%.
Yeah. Those are Marcus Smart numbers. I mean, what do you want from him?
That's Marcus. That's Marcus
Smart. You know what I mean? But he's a damn streaky 33% shooter.
He is.
What's the league average, like 35?
He's a five down, or he's an 0-5.
I'm telling you, he can go 2-for-22, or he can go 11-for-22. He's done it.
He can do it.
At least it's not Derek White 27%. Come on, guys. Come on. Let's give guys some credit.
Yeah, if there's one thing, and that was crazy in Game 7. He was lights out for three.
Game six, bro. That was a waste. They wasted the game six of like the best performance of like White's career, or at least in the Celtics jersey.
And talk about another X factor, Derek White, be able to defend their guards. Yep. He played really well. If he can give you anything on offense, we got it. But oh, when he shoots a three, though, like that. Now, if we want to complain about someone taking a shot, like sit here all day and bitch about Derek White taking a shot, because since the only Celtic in the past couple of years that I've dreaded taking a shot more than Derek White from three is Evan Fournier, because that motherfucker, when he was open for three, he sucked, and he was supposed to hit threes. That made it even worse. And I would like to send a message to all Knicks fans who laughed at the Celtics for letting them get Kemba and Evan Fournier in the offseason. And they laughed at us for letting them go. What a horrible franchise to root for. you sad sons of bitches. You know what I mean? You laughed at us for letting Kemba go. What a bunch of losers.
All right, Zach, on that note, where can they find you on the interwebs? Because your back and forth on Twitter is just getting better and better every time I fucking see you tweet about soccer, tweet about the Red Sox.
Summer just gets hotter, you know. But
I'm sorry about
Liverpool shitting Liverpool, all over the field the other day. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was
not just the other day. Happened two times in a row, huh?
No. Well, the City won their last game, so they couldn't.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You lost
that was out of their hands.
Yeah.
You lost two championships in like a week. So that's
it wasn't a good week. That's for sure.
The moral story here is fuck Real Madrid. That's the moral story.
Yeah.
Fuck Real Madrid, which I can now successfully say I never liked rooting for them. I never liked. Oh, you knew that. I never liked rooting for them. But I had to.
I got to hear from Papa Pavone all damn week.
Yeah,
that's his squad.
No, Liverpool wasn't done like cleaning up their bowel movement in the Premier League, and then they got smacked by. And they should have. They had so many chances at the end of that game. They just choked.
They did, and now they've got what, three or four guys that are talking about leaving too. So that's gonna be a whole new team. So
yeah. Anyway,
at OTW Sports Radio on Twitter, we are. This finals is gonna be fun. It's going to be fun. I got to find new victims out there.
I'm sure you will.
Easy enough. We got to find a few Golden State fans, which I think everyone under the age of like 20 is a Golden State fan. So it should be easy enough.
Yeah, they're either literally from San Francisco, originally not imported, which is like very rare for San Francisco, I think, nowadays.
It's less and less.
And then they're now in San Francisco,
they're in San Francisco now. They were in Oakland. Now they're in San Francisco. The Chase Center is now in San Francisco.
Hold on. Yeah, so Oakland, I feel like, are Lakers fans, right?
They're Raiders fans, but yeah.
Yeah, I just don't see them having the huge following. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Outside of China and new NBA fans and anti-LeBron fans, because for a while there I was a Warriors, you know, cheerleader when they went up against LeBron. Yeah, there's no diehard Warriors fans. There isn't.
The past 2 years, I was just trashing their fans.
Seriously,
they're all mannequins, bro.
They're basically Miami fans, but just on the West Coast.
1,000% Miami fans.
Oh, I mean, when you start throwing things,
they're basically Lakers fans, but just further north.
I mean, when you start throwing things at Charles Barkley, oh, that's fucked up. You've gone too far.
Bitches.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I agree.
There is no, I will put it out there. There is, that stadium is going to be probably full with like 17% actual Warriors fans. And the rest are just bandwagon, ring chasing, Steph Curry bobbing, you know, just not.
They're the Kevin Durant of basketball fans.
Sure. Yes. I like it. I like it.
All right, Zach. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for filling in. We appreciate it. Until we meet again.
Yeah, go Celtics. We'll see what we can do, man.
Oh,
you guys are pretty pretty mean with the Warriors fans there. But I mean, 9-0 at home. I don't know if it has much to do with the home crowd, but the Celtics they're still capable of pulling out victories on the road, especially in a place in a hostile environment. I mean, ask the Nets fans, ask the Bucks fans. Ask the Heat fans who show up, halfway through the second quarter.
Right.
It can be done. It can be done. You know what I mean?
So just comparatively to, the Celtics fans, it seems like they don't stand a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got a special, in case you missed it, it's a finals edition where I'm just throwing out random neato facts, neato stats, if you will.
All right.
I figured, we had a good conversation on the preview of the series. So here's maybe some things that you might have missed or you didn't know. In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
When it comes to the Celtics, their chance to win the NBA Finals, according to ESPN, their good old basketball power index, 86% to 14. That's a bit high. Yeah, I don't know really, if I believe that.
Really weird. I don't understand it. It's all those advanced statistics, which I think like you said on the thing earlier, like advanced statistics really don't matter in the finals. That's across the season.
Yeah.
When averages can become averages and because they're averages, right?
Of course. Like,
there's bigger.
So I've heard.
7-game series don't matter. I don't care. Doesn't matter. It is what it is.
Now I gotta ask. Have you seen the Vegas numbers when it comes to this series?
Yes.
Do you believe them or you're still?
Well, they have the Warriors as a favorite. I know that. And I've only really looked at game one, and I know they have them favored by like 3.5 points. So then really what they're saying, if they're the home team, they're only favored by about a half point difference. So I would sort of lean with Vegas more. I mean, if you're gonna say who's the betting favorite, I mean, they want people to put the money on, in a series as close. You want them to bet with their heart, not their stats, and they're gonna put money on the Warriors. So
yeah, all right. In case you missed it, Jason Tatum, who was awarded the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP, is one of four players in NBA history to reach the finals, averaging 25, 5, and 5 before turning 25. You know who the other three players are?
Before turning 25, let's go with LeBron James.
Yep.
Let's go with Tim Duncan.
Nope.
Okay. Kobe?
Yes. And I don't know if you're going to get this last one.
How old?
So this is before turning 25, right? So
how like seasons wise, like in our era?
Yeah, our era. Yeah, yeah. We watched this. Yeah, this is. I mean, this player retired within the last 2 years.
Vince Carter?
No, Vince Carter never went to the finals, bro.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let's go with Dirk Nowitzki.
Nope. Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
Remember,
yeah.
Remember his the 06 run?
Yep. Yep.
That was his second year in the league. And it's good when you have Shaq on your roster.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed him. Dirk must have been close.
No, no, because when he made his first finals appearance, I think he was definitely older than 25.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. All right. With the Celtics Game 7 win, they were awarded the Bob Cousy Eastern Conference Finals trophy. And with that win, the Celtics are all time in Game 7s on the road, 5-4. No other franchise has more than 2 wins in a road Game 7. And no other franchise has a winning record on the road in Game 7s.
Celtics have showed up in their – they've played a lot of Game 7s. Like every series, they never make it easy. This goes back. Been 2 last time we made it to the championship in the finals. Like it was a 7-game series for both of those 08 and 2010 runs.
Yeah. The least amount of games that they played in that run was against the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals 6 and the Lakers, obviously, in 6. They could have wrapped that up in 5, but, I mean, I'll go to the grave, you know, with that steal by Kobe on Pierce at the end of game. The other game 5 was a foul, but that's just me. In case you missed it, with that that Game 7 win, Al Horford now, you can erase him from the list of most NBA playoff games played without reaching the NBA Finals. He has ended his streak at 141.
The thing of beauty.
141, his 15th NBA season. Every year, except for last season when he was in Oklahoma City, he's made the postseason. He made to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 times, 1 with Atlanta. No, 4 times, actually. 3 with Boston and 1 with Atlanta. And take a guess who's next on the list for the most games played without reaching the NBA Finals. Still an active player.
All right. Let's
go. Actually a former teammate of Horford.
It's not Chris Paul?
Nope, not on this list.
Oh.
At least not in the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, he made the finals last year, obviously. Come on, Sean.
But I don't know how many playoff games he played before he made it to the finals. But he's not on yet.
And
I said he's a former teammate of Horford. So, you know, Chris Paul was never a teammate of Horford's.
Right. Former teammate of Horford. Probably going to be James Harden?
No.
No.
They weren't teammates.
I'm not even close. Harden obviously made the finals with the Thunder too, you friggin' moron. Let's go with.
Wow, it's been 10 years, by the way, since he made the last time he made the finals. That's crazy.
He's probably catching up to start a new thing.
Him and Westbrook. It's been 10 years for both of them.
Yeah. And they probably played a very similar amount of playoff games too.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Millsap.
There you go, bro. Paul Millsap, 130 games.
I thought it was gonna be a bigger name, but
130 games.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense because he was on all of those Hawks teams and then went to the Jazz, right, and the Nuggets or whatever. And they're not making finals.
And a bonus: the next person on the list also former teammates of Millsap and Horford.
Not Kyle Korver.
Nope.
Jeff D.
Nope.
Joe Johnson.
There you go, Joe Johnson.
Oh, but he made it. He's getting a ring with the Celtics.
But he's not on the active roster, man. Dude,
that's tough. That's
120
tough.
Games without reaching the NBA Finals. And rumor has it he might get a ring if the Celtics win it. I don't know how true that is. I mean, he did score 2 points in his only appearance. So that's good for him. And speaking of Al Horford, because the Celtics have reached the finals, his salary for next season will increase from 14.5 to 19.5 mil.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to have a guaranteed of 26.5 mil, and that's only if the Celtics win the championship. But according to a report, the Celtics will guarantee the full 26.5 mil for next season, regardless of outcome. I think he deserves it.
I think so.
It's that next season will be his final year from a 4-year deal that he signed with Philly back in 2019.
Well, right. Speaking of Al Horford, one of the biggest things about this series that I'm really interested in seeing is if Al Horford does sneak his way into being NBA Finals MVP.
Oof, that'd be
he's at plus 10,000 odds right now to win the MVP. So that means if you put down $100, you're winning $10,000.
I see you've been peeping. You've been peeping the
Yeah. The last big $10,000, I mean, 10 plus 10,000 thing to hit was when Leicester City won the
Premier League. They won the Premier League. Yeah.
They were plus 10,000.
That's crazy.
So if you bet $50 on Al Horford, you get throwaway money for $50.
In case you missed it, other than Al Horford, Jaylen Brown actually earned a $964,000 bonus for the Celtics reaching the finals. He's also had two additional bonuses worth about, you know, $482,000 for the Celtics reaching the second round and whatnot. He is supposed to win another bonus if the Celtics win it all, but that's undisclosed. But speaking of Jaylen Brown, he is the new signee of Kanye West's Donda Sports.
Yeah, I saw this, and I'm definitely going to hold my comments for after
the finals. All right.
Let's hold this for the off season, and then we can either.
If he wins MVP, though, you can't say nothing.
I ain't gonna say shit.
All right. That's a stipulation there. If he doesn't win, so you know, according to the reports here, you know, Mr. Jaylen Brown, he's joining up with Kanye West's marketing firm. I guess you can call it, and he calls it the start of a beautiful collaboration. Became public this week that the Celtics forward was the first NBA player to sign with Donda Sports. So the company is like a larger like clothing line. So as of now, the Los Angeles Rams, Aaron Donald recently joined the firm as well. And quote, "It was time for me. Like I said, anytime I make a life decision, I contemplate. Think about things deeply," Brown said. "And from what I do, the missions I want to get accomplished, it was the right decision," end quote.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a free agent. He's a free shoe agent because I don't know if you've noticed during the season, he's worn every type of shoe from Nike to New Balance to Under Armour, all types of shoes. And he still hasn't gotten a contract. He was signed with Adidas back in his rookie season. So that deal expired before the beginning of this season, and he's still actively searching for another shoe deal, reportedly. So,
is he going to wear Yeezys?
I mean, I wouldn't discount that. I don't know how comfortable they are to play ball in. I hear they're comfortable to walk around in. I don't know about if they're a good balling shoe, a good shoe to ball up in. I can't tell you one way or another.
I don't like it. Like I said, one way or another, we'll talk about this after the. I'm not gonna harsh anyone's vibe right now with my.
With your take.
Yes.
All right. That's gonna do it for this NBA Finals edition of. In case you missed it, you can follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Oh, real quick, shout out to the fucker who tried to hack the Causeway Snapchat last week. You fucking, ooh, you dick. Nice try, but it didn't happen. So Follow us on Snapchat for some video and images from out at the Chase Center. Sway is out there right now as we speak. And for all your NBA Finals coverage, hit up causewaystreet.com. Thanks again for Zach for coming through. He's one of our writers there at causewaystreet.com. And don't forget, subscribe to our After Hours. That's Causeway After Hours on Patreon. Patreon.com/Causeway for exclusive content. Patreon.com/Causeway. Any last thoughts before this series?
No, go Celtics. That's it. Go Celtics.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. As always, Black Lives Matter. Let's stop Asian hate. Stand with Ukraine. By the way, Ukraine, one win away from making it to the World Cup.
Excellent.
Nothing but good vibes for the country of Ukraine. And Celtics are back in the finals. Damn. This is good to say. Still hasn't hit me yet, but once game one tips off, I'm going to be one happy camper. This is going to be one hell of a series. Back in the finals, back in Cali, And until next time, we are out.
Peace. Later.